the Magic Book Club podcast. It is my great, great pleasure to welcome to the Magic Radio Book Club podcast the fabulous Carrie Hope Fletcher. Can't even talk this morning.
It's early.
This is a wonderful read.
Oh, thank you.
Taken on such a roller coaster, and I've been going, what's going on? I can't. I've had one of those big woo moments.
Oh, good. I'm
Where
glad.
Did this idea, I mean, without, because it's going to be difficult without giving too much away, but this is such a fabulous idea.
Thank
where did
you.
This originate?
It was when we had that weird freak snowstorm back in, what was it, April?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, why is it snowing? This is so bizarre. I was just watching it out my window, and I thought, wouldn't it be bizarre if, you know, someone... The thought process was, wouldn't it be weird if you had a one-night stand with someone?
Yeah.
And the snow made you forget, so you woke up the next morning and was like, who is this strange person in my bed? and the concept just went from there, really.
Yes, that's happened without the snow many times, I hate to say, but there you go. I guess it's almost like that. There's so much in it that so many of us have thought before. Luna, our central character, that's an epic start. We learn so much about her so quickly. A really tragic beginning to the story, actually. Tell us a little about your lead character.
She's not the most fortunate woman. She's had kind of quite a lot of trauma in her life. And the start of the book, she is jilted. She's left at the altar. Bless her. And she's already quite a hardened person. She's, you know, not very affectionate and not very outwardly loving. And that's kind of the last straw. And she's like, right, I just want to get away from everyone. She's an author. And she's like, I just want to live on a remote island where no one can find me. And I will just write my books. And it feels like the way I'm heading, really. I feel like one day I will just go, right, I'm done with people. I just want to live in a cave in the middle of Cornwall. And every year I will just send a manuscript off to my editor. And that will be the end of it.
Blissful.
I know, right?
But isn't it funny? Because I think the thing is as well is that without being too dark about it, I don't think there's any one of us that hasn't thought, you know what, if deep tragedy happened to me, I would run away to a Scottish island with a dog and write books where nobody knows me and I can start again with a clean slate.
Yeah.
Of course, the irony is that in a tiny little community, that doesn't really happen for Luna, does it?
Luna kind of realises that... She thinks if I go to a place that's remote where there's only a few people, it's the perfect escape. You know, no one will know who I am. But she soon realises that the fewer people there are, everyone knows everybody else's business. You can't get away from those few people because that's it. Who else do you speak to if not those few people? Bless her.
And I felt really dim coming to that conclusion so quickly, thinking, oh that doesn't work, does it? You know, you kind of bump into the same 10 people every single day and you stand out like a sore thumb and everybody wants to know her business. And I mean, that the stress levels for her immediately are much the same, aren't they?
For someone trying to get away from stress, it's kind of the one thing that would probably send her stress levels through the roof. Everyone being like, who's this new person? I want to know everything about you. And she's like, oh God, no, that's the opposite of what I want.
The way you've written it as well, though, is really clever, because I think, you know, because she's like you said, she's really not very forthcoming. She doesn't want to open up. She's in fact quite the opposite. Regardless of her circumstance and the tragedy and the jilting that she's come with, she's just not a very effervescent person.
No.
She's not a very conversational person.
No.
And not only does she stand out like a sore thumb, but everybody is very direct as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the questions come thick and fast.
Yeah.
We love Mrs. MacArthur. She's an amazing character.
She's fun.
Was that done deliberately to kind of increase that tension?
Yeah. I mean, I work in a theatre, and so everyone's kind of like Mrs. MacArthur. Everyone's got a story that they want to tell you, and every day, oh, you never guess what happened to me today on the train, and everyone comes in like larger than life. So she's sort of an amalgamation of all of the wonderful women that I work with in theatre who always have phenomenal stories to tell and who always, you know, want to know how you are and want to know your stories. Bless her, Luna's just not that kind of person.
Well, Miss Lark... Actually, I feel like really overpersonal calling her Luna because and this is a mechanic that you use right until the very end, actually.
Yeah, she kind of has these ground rules when she goes to the island where she's like, I'm just not going to tell anyone my name. That's the solution. You know, as soon as you're on a first name basis with someone, you feel familiar and it gets too personal too quickly. So she's like, well, my name's Miss Lark, and that instantly puts up a barrier between you and the other person.
Makes her even more mysterious and sexy.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's suddenly like, ooh, Miss Lark, she won't tell me her name. I need to know immediately. What questions can I ask to try and trick her into telling me her name? But also, it came from this idea that, obviously, there's Beau.
Yeah.
These are... our lead male.
Oh, you know what? If I could throw up into a pint glass one day and still say he'll come back for, you know, he's the right one.
He's the one, right?
Yeah.
Bless him. But he's a barista in a coffee shop. And obviously when you go into Starbucks, they always ask you your name for your cup. And I thought, well, that's the perfect way to get him to have to ask what her name is. And it just felt like the right way for her to show that she's opening up more and more as time goes on.
Yeah.
That she gets closer and closer to actually revealing what her name is.
And it's, I'm trying to work out how we say this without... So this is a process for her.
Yes.
And the way that... And I was trying to work out, are these flashbacks? How is this working? Because Groundhog Day has mentioned it. There's a 50 yes. first dates kind of feel to it. What do we learn on a daily basis to help our life progress to where we really ought to end up?
Yeah, and it's also about all of the things that you kind of don't notice changing in you as time goes on. Like my mum always says that when I was living in her house, she didn't notice sort of like the gradual changes as I was growing up because she saw me every day. But then as soon as I'm away for a while and I come back, she'll be like, oh, you look different. Have you changed your hair? Have you lost weight, gained weight, whatever? You know, she'll suddenly notice all of these changes. And it's kind of the same with ourselves. You know, we live with ourselves every day. And so it's only until you look back 3 years ago that you're like, oh my God, I'm a completely different person.
Yeah.
Whereas Luna kind of has that realization every day because she can't remember what's come before. So she's waking up being like, why do I feel like a totally different person when I don't remember why?
It's really cool. Honestly, it's really cool. It was quite unexpected. And like I just said to you, actually, because I was really frustrated because I was on the train reading the last few bits and then I had to talk to a friend and haven't seen for ages. And I'm sitting there going, yes, great, fantastic, absolutely. No, I want to finish this book. She is, you like a hopeless romantic.
I am a hopeless romantic.
Well, this is interesting, Carrie, because I'm sitting there going, yeah, I'm reading about an author who writes in a certain way, and I mean, is there some of Carrie and Luna?
I mean, I think there will always be a bit of me in every character
yes,
I write, right?
Of
because
course.
They're all coming from me. But actually, I feel like Luna's the furthest removed from me because I'm
heart on your sleeve.
Heart on my sleeve. I tell everyone everything. People are like, "You're really oversharing." I'm like, "Really? I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface." Really? So yeah, Luna's very. I kind of found it hard to write Luna because I was kind of writing things and I was like deleting everything. So I was like, Luna just wouldn't share that. I would, but Luna wouldn't. So I need to backspace the last four paragraphs.
Hi, I'm Carrie, Carrie.
Yeah.
She's, when you're, I mean, it's quite a complicated plot.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's not linear in any sense whatsoever. How did you set about sort of getting it from A to B?
Difficulty.
I can imagine.
Because I have to write chronologically because otherwise I get myself confused.
Oh, but well, that's tricky.
Exactly. When you've got a book where the same day is repeated over and over again, how do you write chronologically? And when you've got characters who can't remember certain things that you remember, remembering what they remember versus what you remember is so hard. So my notebook is full now just with trying to remember what day is when and
it's like
who
being
knows
in a
what.
In the middle of a massively complicated lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what? Remember, oh, God, what
did I say last time? Yeah.
No, it was Tuesday. It was definitely Tuesday. Yeah. Do you have... what's your writing process like? Do you have a notebook? Do you write with a pen?
Well, I used to have a giant chalkboard wall in my last flat. Painted with chalkboard paint, and so I had chalks and I used to map out, like for my first book it was the best thing ever because I had a very extensive family tree, so I just mapped out the family tree, and the more I wrote the more I would write down about, you know, what each character, you know, what their traits are and who they are to that person and how they're related, and then I moved.
And the chalkboard had to stay.
The chalkboard wall has now gone. Yes, so it's notebooks now, and I make notes with pens, but I write everything out on my laptop.
Yeah, Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have a cup of tea? Do you write for a certain amount of time?
I have a jar of peanut butter and a spoon.
I
feel snacky. I get snacky, but I don't want
to... That's in here. Peanut butter and a spoon is in here.
Yeah.
Yes, the key.
Peanut butter and
awesome.
A spoon.
Yeah.
Right, I can't... If it was up to me, I'd have a box full of chocolates, packet to biscuit.
100%.
I would just make my way through them.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, I cannot do that when it takes, you know, anywhere between 8 months to a year to write a book. So... Whole earth, peanut butter, the healthier stuff, the better. But as long as it still tastes good, we're fine.
Is this number four? This is number four or five?
Fourth novel.
Yeah, fifth book, fourth novel. You haven't even got started yet, have you?
No, I can
feel that. Yeah, exactly. Where do we go from Luna? This has got so much energy in it, and there's so many creative ideas in here. I mean, you must have plans for more.
Oh, definitely.
Oh my God, you're so amazing!
I keep being asked about sequels, but I don't think I have the patience for a sequel. I feel like as soon as I've closed the book, I'm like, well, that's goodbye to those characters. Who else can I play with?
Yeah.
I just want to find new worlds and new people. Maybe one day I'll revisit. But right now I feel like I need to get all of my stories out of my system before I can go back to the old ones.
And did you know when you were Diddy that did you write stories for you? You must have written characters and stories when you were little.
When my teacher said, right, it's creative writing day, it was like my dream day. I loved it. And I used to give my English teacher, bless him, Mr. Brown, if you're listening, love you. I used to give him extra homework. I used to write chapters of a book and be like, could you just mark this for me and tell me how I'm doing? Could you just, like, give me your critique and your edits? Like, he was my editor when I was 15 years old.
I love it. That's so funny. Well, I think she's a really interesting character in this sort of time that we live in as well. And, you know, that what she carries around with her as well. And I know it's irksome for her that, you know, being a single woman, having been jilted, so she's somehow kind of judged for that. And that's it weighs heavy on her.
Yeah, and that she's somehow worthless because a man rejected her. And she knows that she shouldn't feel that way, and that that's not her worth isn't based on how other people perceive her or how other, you know, the value that other people put on her. It's all to do with her. But knowing that in your head versus feeling that in your heart, it's two different things.
And that's, I mean, you know, we always say, don't you? You always say, don't you, that, you know, when you find a partner, that there's a connection with, people immediately start saying, oh, I can hear wedding bells. Yeah. And then when you're together, oh, I can hear the sound of pitter-patter, tiny pitter-patter feet. And when you've had a girl, are you going to have a boy to go with it? It's never ending. Mm-hmm. Prying and expectations of what you are supposed to be as a woman.
And it's also this idea that people say, oh, your other half, as if you're not complete without them.
Yes.
As if you're not a whole on your own.
Yeah.
And that's something I always, if someone ever refers to my boyfriend as my other half, I'm like, sorry, who? Hmm?
You're absolutely right.
Thank you very much.
I have all my limbs. And I mean, that first encounter with Mrs. MacArthur with, you know, are you sure? And I mean, she goes on and on and on, doesn't she?
Yeah, people like to know the answers when you don't give them. And this is something with social media. This is something that
well,
is
I know
kind
you
of
feel,
part of,
yeah.
Yeah. People like to ask questions, and they will ask questions that even my own friends wouldn't ask me because they know it's too far, it's past the line. But as soon as you start sharing, or oversharing in my case, as soon as you start sharing past a certain boundary, you can never reset that boundary again.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you've set it that far out, and people will always think they're allowed to.
They're allowed to.
To come that far.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of difficult to know where your sort of starting point in the world of being known is. I mean, I know that you started very young in theatre and telly. And then there was, you know, the social media that you've, the vlogging that you've nailed as well. If there's, you know, the little that I know about you, you are surrounded by sort of lovely commentary and a very rounded person. How do you think has that managed to, you know, you've managed to maintain that and keep focused on being so prolific as well?
My parents are the people that you need to thank for that. They are the most grounded, down-to-earth people you could ever meet. I mean, then neither of them are in the industry. My dad used to work at a Kodak factory. driving forklifts in silver recovery. I mean, I always say
in
that.
In silver recovery.
See, I know. I always say that. I think that's what he did. I'm pretty sure that's what he did.
You're going to have to double check that at
some
point.
I'm going to have to. It sounds like a magical thing to do, silver recovery.
Yeah, exactly.
And my mum was a learning support teacher at a school.
Yeah.
So and they're both very creative. Like, we always had musicals on in the house, and my dad plays guitar, and they, you know, we'd always kind of have a music-filled, creative house. But neither of them are part of the industry or have ever been part of the industry before me and my brother.
Helpful.
Yeah. So it was kind of a learning curve for them. But it meant that they just let us do our thing. And they were never sort of pushy parents or, you know, they're very proud parents, of course, but they were never overbearing in any way.
And maybe as well, you know, and I'm going through it with my little one in some part, and maybe as well, everything's a bonus because you're so sort of ignorant about the industry that you kind of go, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
A lot rather than kind of going, well, that's my expectation and that's what we need to do and that's my plan. It just sort of.
Yeah, there was never any disappointment.
Yes.
It was every time I got through the next stage of auditions, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't believe it. How brilliant that you've got this far.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of always been my mentality now as well, because it means as an adult, I'm never really disappointed if I don't get a part. Because like when I was first auditioning for Les Mis was like my holy grail. Eponine was the holy grail for me. And so every time I got through a new round, I was like, oh my God, this round I got to sing on the stage at the Queen's Theatre. How exciting was that? And if I never go any further, at least I got to do that.
Yeah.
And then I got to the final rounds and I was like, well, I just got to sing for Cameron McIntosh so I can die happy now. That's it, you know? That's the end. I can, you know, if I never get any further, I got to do that.
It's a great way to approach life. I sat next to Cameron McIntosh on a plane once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was sitting there. You know, you get halfway through going, oh, I'm going to have to say something like this. I was like that. Hello.
He's lovely.
He's
probably enjoyed
awesome.
A chat.
Yeah. We had a really good chat.
He's
lovely. He was really cool. Briefly, I wondered as well whether in the digital age of not being able to disappear, that what Luna does in this book is somehow kind of would be quite desirable. It's so much more difficult for you to do these days is to disappear and to kind of find some anonymity in that digital sphere.
I was kind of living out a little bit of a fantasy.
Yeah, I wondered if you
Luna.
Were. Yeah.
More so as I'm getting older, I kind of realise what my priorities were, and they're just so different from when I started vlogging when I was 18, 19 years old, when, you know, everyone was on social media, all of my friends were on social media, but now I'm 27 next month, I'm, you know, kind of, I've just bought a house.
Oh
I'm,
my God!
I know, I'm just moving in, and so I'm kind of at a point now
Are you
where
putting
I'm just,
peanut butter on your toast yet?
Yeah.
Or are you still eating it with a spoon?
Both.
Okay,
both.
Fine. Okay.
There's many ways to eat peanut butter, and I found them all. But yeah, and my priorities are just different now. I'm not living with my parents anymore. I've got a lot less time because I'm, you know, working full time on writing and in the theatre. And, you know, I'm not my own boss anymore like I used to be when I was 18. And I've got people to answer to, and they being in a show is my priority. So everything has to be secondary. So that means kind of the vlogging and the social media side of things go a little bit quiet.
Which is no bad thing for a while.
No, of course not. Of course not.
Which is no bad thing for a while, especially when you are in Les Mis again.
This
is not a full circle story of gorgeousness.
Crazy,
I mean, when you, did you get the call? How did that process happen?
Because I was in it when I was seven. And
you're playing Fontaine now.
I'm playing Fontaine now. So yes, I was in it when I was seven as little Eponine. And then the Holy Grail, like I said, was to go back and play older Eponine. And then I did that for 3 years, almost 3 years. And then I got a call saying, so we're putting Les Mis on in Dubai at the Royal Opera House. Do you fancy doing it? I was like, oh, go on then. And that was like, I'd left for about 6 months and I got that call saying, would I like to go and play it in Dubai? And then I kind of, you know, I played Eponine for 3 years. I've done it now, closed the chapter. And then as soon as that chapter was closed, I was like, I could always play Fontaine one day. I wonder if that's a possibility.
There are options.
Yeah. And then a couple of years went by and then I got a call December just gone saying they're doing this concert version of Les Mis when it closes at the Queen's. They're putting this concert version on, stage concert. They're trying to get as many people
all
back.
Star.
And like Michael Ball, Alfie Beau, Matt Lucas, what a cast. But also everyone who's in the show has been in it before. There's only two people who are fresh faces.
Wow.
So everyone
oh my gosh,
in the cast.
So much fun.
Everyone's been in it before. And they were like, would you be interested in auditioning for Fontaine? And I was like, Yes, please. Thank you very much. So I had to go in and sing in front of Mr. McIntosh. Maybe one of the most terrifying moments of my life.
I'm sure.
Terrifying. He pulled out a chair and just stuck it in the centre of the room, sat down
Lord.
On it, and just looked up at me, and he was like, "That's here, I dreamed a dream, shall
we?" Okay. Okay, all right, right. That's fine.
We'll just knock out yeah. I dreamed a dream in front of old Cam.
I know. So it was a little bit terrifying, but then, yeah, a few days later, I got the call to be like, yeah, he's thrilled. He'd love you to be part of it.
Oh,
so here we are.
It's amazing. I've yet to, like I said to you, I met Jono and Jones at West End Live.
Yes, of course.
Oh my gosh, we had such a fun day, didn't we? It was hilarious.
So much fun.
And I said last night that I was meeting you today, and he was like, "Oh, say hello to Gally for me."
It's a really good impression of him, actually.
I think it's probably any man with a beard that is vaguely from Wales, maybe. But he seems to be having a really, really fantastic time and great reviews as well.
Yeah.
How long does that go on for?
Until November 30th.
Oh, my gosh.
Final
night. Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, that'll be a night. That'll be
really
a knees
will.
Up.
It really will.
And then what happens?
I'm moving across to the Sondheim. It used to be the Queen's. It's now the Sondheim. I'm moving across with it and playing Fontaine in the full production.
Is it? I mean, it's an exhausting musical at the best of times, but do you need a hug afterwards? Do you need
a little sit down? Yeah, a little sit down and a cup of tea.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's quite full on for everyone. I mean, no one kind of has a happy ending apart from Cosette and Marius.
Yeah.
They're the only people who actually
get good for
some
you.
Kind
everyone else
ending.
Is dead, by the way.
I know. But no, it is a quite an emotional show for everyone in it.
For those little people who have grown up with you through your vlogs and through your social media and through theatre and now through your books as well, for those little people who are maybe watching and want a career in musical theatre that are starting out, because your story is quite unique.
It is
really quite unique. There aren't many people that have gone through.
Yeah.
Lots of people go to drama school.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people, you know, lots of people start that way very, very young.
Yeah.
Very few people keep going. Your parents are your secret, but what's your advice?
It's really hard because I get asked that a lot, and I'm like, there's no way to replicate what I've done because I had no plan. I had no idea what I was doing. Maybe that is what it is. Just take it 5 minutes at a time, guys. It's kind of hard to replicate all of the steps that I went through because it was just chance and luck and being in the right place at the right time and sometimes being in the wrong place at the wrong time and then having to do an about turn and find another door to walk through. But perseverance, that's kind of the one thing that I've had that I feel like everyone else who has succeeded has also had. That's kind of the common denominator is perseverance.
Yeah.
Even when doors slam in your face, even when you get a no, even when you feel like you're never going to make it, you've always got to keep going. Otherwise, you're never, like, if you give up, you're making it 100% certain that you're never going to get the yes that you're looking for. So if you keep going, you will eventually find a yes or the yes. Who knows?
Well, I've only got about 10 pages to go. Yay! Will Luna find her yes? Will Luna find her yes? Is there, so there's definitely more writing from you.
Yeah, definitely. I'll never stop writing.
Carrie, I've really enjoyed it so far. Have enjoyed it so far. In the Time We Lost is out for you to buy right now. It is hopelessly romantic. It's really interesting and really clever. And I like it a lot. And it's
Thank
really
you so
lovely
much.
To meet you.
Lovely to meet you too.
Please don't stop writing and don't stop singing. Don't do that just yet. Thank you.
Thank you.